Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I was raised with good old gospel hymns. I love the old gospel songs. And in my first church, I found that very few people knew any gospel songs. So I wanted to teach one, especially for communion. So I gathered the choir together and I taught them the song, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains." And when I got through, somebody in the choir said, "Ew, that's disgusting." Now, I was thinking of the benefits of salvation and what I learned about Jesus, and he was thinking about people taking a dive into a bloody pool. And when you think of it, a lot of Christian symbolism is pretty gross. What are some of our favorite songs? The old rugged cross stained with blood so divine. We don't think about that. How it must sound to other people's ears to hear this kind of symbolism. But when I read today's story where Jesus says, "My flesh is food indeed," the people at that time were not grossed out by the symbolism. What upset them wasn't the talk about flesh and blood. It was the claims that Jesus was making, and they were absolutely outrageous. For you see, in that time, there were many mystery religions. And the people would sacrifice to a god. And the food that they would give to that god, the thought was that God then infused the food with God's self. And then the food was given back to the people for a feast. And when they ate it, they actually felt that they were filling themselves with God. So they understood the symbolism. What upset them was Jesus' claim, the outrageous claim that when we did this with him, that we were filled with God. And that's what disturbed them. Christianity makes some outrageous claims. Jesus makes outrageous claims. And when he says to eat my flesh, he is talking about his humanity. Our Greek Orthodox friends put it this way. They say that the flesh of God, the flesh of Jesus, hallows and makes holy our own bodies. We are tinged with glory. So the next time you wake up and you feel creaky, think, "I'm tinged with glory. I have the divine within me." It helps us to remember that when Jesus walked dusty roads, sometimes he sat down and told the disciples, "You go ahead, I'm tired." It helps us to remember that all the frustrations of life Jesus experienced, and in our weakness, Jesus experienced all of that. He experienced heartache. He experienced pain. And so our bodies are filled with God's glory. When we talk about drinking blood, talking about the life-giving force, Paul cleans it up by saying, "Be filled with the Spirit." That's what we're talking about, being filled with the very nature of God. And how important that is. Our Christian life is not a matter of reading something and saying, "Those are good thoughts, and I'm going to try to live by a good example." Living the Christian life is being filled with the very power and spirit of Christ so that we can live a good life. It is so vital to ourselves. There's a woman named Sarah Miles. Sarah is a lady who's a lay person. She had started out life cooking. She loved to cook. She was raised by an atheist family, never went to church. Today, she establishes food pantries all over the country. She started out with not a budget, not a plan, but just wanted to give away food, and now she is part of this Christian network. And this is her story. It's from her book, Take This Bread. She said, "One early cloudy morning when I was 46, I walked into a church, ate a piece of bread, took a sip of wine, a routine Sunday activity for tens of millions of Americans, except that up till that moment, I'd led a thoroughly secular life, at best indifferent to religion, more often appalled by it. This was my first communion, and it changed everything. Eating Jesus, as I did that day to my great astonishment, led me against all my expectations to a faith I'd scorned and work I'd never imagined. The mysterious sacrament turned out to be not a symbolic wafer at all, but actual food, indeed the bread of life. In that shocking moment of communion, filled with a deep desire to reach for and become part of a body, I realized what I'd been doing with my life all along was what I was meant to do, feed people. And so I did. I took communion, I passed the bread to others, and then I kept going, compelled to find new ways to share what I'd experienced. My new vocation didn't turn out to be as simple as going to church on Sundays, folding my hands in the pews, and declaring myself saved. Nor did my volunteer work, church work, mean talking kindly to poor folks and handling them the occasional sandwich from a sanctified distance. I had to trudge in the rain through housing projects, sit on the curb wiping the runny nose of a psychotic man, take the firing pin out of a battered woman's .357 Magnum, then stick the gun in a cookie tin in the trunk of my car. I had to struggle with my atheist family, my doubting friends, and the prejudices and traditions of my newly found church. I was, as the prophet said, hungering and thirsting for righteousness. I found it at the eternal and material core of Christianity, body, blood, bread, wine, poured out freely, shared by all." When I heard her story a few years ago, it touched me so that every communion service after that, I stopped putting any caveats on communion. And that's why if you come to a communion service here, I say it's open. Anyone who will may come. Because that day, around that table in that little church, when Sarah Miles walked in, they just said, "Come." And she said the moment she ate that wafer, she was converted. Be filled with the Spirit of God. And so tomorrow morning, as we pull our bodies out of bed or roll over and have another 5 minutes of sleep, remember that we are infused with the Holy. And we walk in Christ's body and blood, not literally, but in that sense of being filled up with God and understanding that God loved us so much that he became a human being and shared our life. And now we can share not only ourselves, but the Holy Spirit of God with all whom we meet this week. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for the life-giving power of your Spirit. I thank you that we do not live a moral and good life by ourselves, but that your animating spirit is within us. And I ask, O Lord, that that spirit would keep us this week, whether in joy or in sorrow, whether we are hale and hearty or limping along. We ask for your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.